Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Last month, General Motors announced it's ending productions at 5 plants in the U.S. and Canada and stopping production of several of its passenger cars. That will result in thousands of job losses as GM works to turn its financial picture around.
Analysts say GM has not adjusted to changing consumer tastes fast enough, which is why the company will now discontinue the once popular Chevy Cruze and Volt lines, along with some Buick and Cadillac models.
GM's SUV, crossovers, and pickups are its most profitable lines, which runs counter to other companies, which have had success with smaller hybrids and other fuel-efficient passenger cars.
In an effort to break down what led to GM's sweeping changes, Lake Effect auto contributors Mark Savage and Dan Harmon got together to discuss which models will no longer be on sales lots. They'll also talk about the trend of larger vehicles and what that could mean in a future potentially filled with electric and self-driving cars.
Savage begins by explaining the state of the current American auto industry.
What's going on in the car world right now is that cars are disappearing, and sedans in particular. And, you know, most recently, General Motors announced they were cutting out six of their vehicles, of the cars. And Ford has announced that they're getting rid of a bunch of theirs. And Chrysler doesn't have all that many to begin with. They got rid of one, I think, last year. But the car sales are just dropping right now. Ford cars are down 20% this last month. They're down 18% for the year. Toyota sales are down 17% for the month. The two best-selling cars have been the Camry and the Accord, both of which were down roughly 30% this last month, and you know maybe 10 to 15% for the whole year. So, you know, that tells you where that the car market is shrinking. There's a number of reasons, I'm sure, but it doesn't make sense for the car makers to keep making as many as they were making. I'm a little shocked that so many are disappearing so quickly, but, you know, I'm an old guy and I expect cars to be out there on the road.
And just to clarify, we're talking about them getting rid of or parsing back sedans and coupes, as opposed to trucks and SUVs and light SUVs.
All right, trucks and SUVs and crossovers, that's where all the money is, and that's what they're going to make more and more of.
And what exactly did GM say they're going to do?
Well, sometime in the next year or so, and it sounds like probably the end of the 2019 model year, they're going to phase out the Buick LaCrosse, the Cadillac CT6, the Cadillac XTS, Chevy's Cruze, Chevy's Impala, and the Chevy Volt. So that's a lot. And they say they can't make them profitably and that the demand is down. So they're moving on to other things. And I don't think too many of those plants are going to get other business. Chevy's announcement, the shocking part there was that it looks like they're laying off somewhere around almost 15,000 workers. That's a lot of folks.
And do they say those are all layoffs or are some going to be moved around the country or get an early retirement?
Well, I'm sure a few will probably retire early and that a few will also get reassigned or, you know, be allowed to move to some other plant where they need them. But, you know, when you're shutting down a plant that maybe employs 5,000 people in one community, like Lordstown, Ohio, is the one that I probably got the most attention because I think there was about 5,000 people there. You know, there is no other plant right next door or something down the road. If you're in the Detroit area, there still might be something else, or even in Michigan in certain places, there would be some possibility of maybe catching on either at another company or, you know, moving to a different GM plant.
Have other manufacturers done quite the same drastic thing GM has? You mentioned a couple of other car makers.
Right. Ford was the first to kind of make the announcement that they were going to cut out all their cars. The only thing that they're going to have remaining as a car is a Mustang. They have another little, I think it's a Focus or Fiesta product that's more of a minivan or of a crossover. So to me, that's the same thing. You're still getting rid of sedans. So yeah, no more Fiestas or Focus or Fusions or Tauruses out there. So that's, you know, when I drive around Milwaukee, the cars that I see the most are probably Fiestas and Focus and Cruzes. And that's what people buy around here. So I think that in this market, it's going to be a big change and probably beneficial to some of the car makers that still have some of those products, mainly Japanese and Korean.
How about how this compares to European cars?
Well, the Europeans are still buying cars. They're starting to get more crossovers in the last 10 years or so. They've gotten SUVs over there. And I think we've talked about before, Now, when each of us have been overseas for a little bit, you notice more of the trucks or crossovers on the road. So, you know, the whole market is probably changing, but certainly in the United States, the car market has cut back dramatically. And here's my challenge, I guess, to all the listeners out there is next, you know, here we are in the holiday season and watch the TV commercials. See how many cars you see advertised. I can guarantee if you watch an NFL game, you're going to see every pickup and every SUV advertised, but probably nothing beyond that. And it's just I don't think the automakers are pushing cars very hard anymore because, one, they haven't been profitable at them, and, two, trucks is where they make all their money. So if you buy a $50,000 truck, and that's a moderately priced one these days, they're probably making $8,000 or $10,000 on each one of those. Oh, I'd rather sell that than a cruise where I lose $200. So what are you going to push?
And trucks, I'm not familiar with the figures as I used to be, but they're the number one selling vehicle in the world, right? The planet.
Right, right. The Ford and GM pickups are the number one and two vehicles. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that to some degree. But like I say, I do wonder if maybe there was a little more push toward the others that maybe they would pick up popularity. And currently we're at gas prices just above $2 a gallon. When I was out on the West Coast, it was $3 a gallon. Well, so that maybe they sell a few more out that way as far as the cars go. And the trucks have improved their gas mileage, but there's still a big difference between 16 to 20 miles per gallon and 25 to 35 miles per gallon. So I don't know. And even like a, you know, Buick LaCrosse that they're cutting out, it's not like, oh, that's a big boat that Grandpa used to drive. It may be fairly large, but it's probably getting 26 miles per gallon on the highway or on the city streets and 32 or 3 on the highway. That's not bad at all in today's world, especially compared to any SUV.
I have to wonder how much of this is, because just given the list of cars that you gave, not a few of them are small cars, the Volt and Cruise.
Right.
So I'm wondering, and one of those being the hybrid, so I have to wonder how much of this is styling, how much of it is just not being able to create a car that people want to buy, and how much of it actually is part of that general shift away from cars.
Well, I think the primary thing is the shift away from cars. Styling is one thing, but, you know, I would argue that Chevy over the last 5 years or so, and with a Cadillac before that, has done much better in their styling. I mean, I think the Cruze and Impala and Volt are all very nice-looking cars. And the Volta, we've talked about that a couple of times in the past. It's a great driving car. You know, you're obviously getting fantastic gas mileage because it's electric part of the time. It just never caught on. Their Bolt with a B has evidently done better for them, and they have not said they're eliminating that. And that's, you know, more of the electric car craze that will be coming. I mean, it's, you know, if anybody thinks electric cars aren't going to be the future, they're mistaken.
And I'm wondering how much of, I mean, there's just so much going on at any given time in the auto industry and making decisions. So I'm wondering how much that plays into it as well. Because, and it's a contradiction as well, right? Trucks are selling like hotcakes and they're not electric. Some of them are electric assist or hybrid, very few of them. So I'm wondering how much that affects their plans.
Well, I don't know. My thought is everybody's moving towards electric and autonomous cars, and all of that will be here in the next 5 or 10 years, you know, to varying degrees. But I think the problem with a lot of the car makers has been over the years that they expand into every little kind of niche that they think is out there, and they filled all those niches up to the point where, you know, actually something like a Focus may be competing more with the Fusion and more with the Fiesta than other people are because it's in the same brand, but it's, you know, a little bigger than the one, a little littler than the other. But if you offer just the Fiesta and then the Fusion or something like that, then maybe people would still go to those sedans. But there's so many choices, and all of the foreign car makers have, you know, a lot of things to fill these niches too. And apparently they figured out how to do this, you know, more economically to make some money on it. I've not heard any of the Japanese or Korean car makers say they're getting out of the car business because they can't make a car profitably. And I think that seems to be what the U.S. makers seem to be, you know, most having the most problem with. They've made a nice product. I know a lot of people who drive all these cars, and they love them. And they are much better than U.S. cars used to be. So I don't really think it's a product problem. I think it's just that people are moving away from it and the automakers want to make money, and which, you know, obviously all companies want to make money, but they can do better on the truck end. My prediction is that one of these days gas prices are going to sneak back up again and they're going to be $3 and $4 a gallon and everybody will be screaming about why don't we have cars that get better fuel economy. But, you know, maybe by then the electrics will have taken over and it won't be such a big deal.
Right. And related to that, which when GM made this big announcement, part of me was then expecting a part two of that announcement, which was, yes, we're getting rid of these because they're not as profitable, but we're going to start investing heavily in alternative fuels or electrics, et cetera, like so many other car makers. But that announcement never came, or hasn't yet anyway. Like they were going to get rid of this less profitable or not profitable section and then start taking that loss off the books and then investing money in the future of electrics and alternative fuels.
Well, right. I think they're all, you know, working on it. It's just, again, probably reapportioning what you spend on it. And maybe they're not going to make a big announcement saying I'm going to push harder to have more electric cars by 2022 or something. It may just happen. But they're making a fair amount of money. I think it was, what, $6 billion or something like that this last year. And you know, that's not like they don't make any money. But obviously, any company decides they're going to shift their product line around a little bit, put the money where the market appears to be or where they feel like can make more money, and that's the way they're going. And, you know, I'm sad to see the sedans go because that's what we've all grown up with and driving and seeing them. And most of the time, I would prefer that. But evidently, I'm becoming one of the 30 or 40% of the people instead of the 60 or 70% of the people.
I know this is a bit more of a subjective thing to ask, but GM's image has maybe taken a hit. I mean, a lot of it's because of either the huge job loss numbers and or the fact that they were bailed out and now are seemingly kind of reneging on that bailout, or at least a commitment of some kind, even if it might have just been a kind of a social contract. Do you think that any of that's true?
Well, I think there's always a fallout. Anytime you're going to lay off any number of people, if it was 20 people for GM, maybe no one would notice. But when it's over 5,000, 10,000, all of a sudden it's like that's a lot of folks, and you're hurting a lot of communities that are dependent on a plant such as, like, say, Lordstown that has the big plant there, and you know that's the biggest employer. And when you think, you know, even Milwaukee, if one of our bigger employers shuts down and moves somewhere else, no matter what business it is, and that's a big chunk to make up. So, yeah, you're going to catch a lot of flack. I think, as with all these things, sometimes you could probably handle the PR end of this a little better. And maybe if you were, as you said, if they were planning to do some more research and put more efforts into electric cars or autonomous cars, then maybe that's the time you announce that too, to say, you know, there will be some other jobs created in our company. It's just that we're shuttering these plants and laying off the assembly line folks.
Well, what grade do you give GM overall for all of this?
For their handling of this?
Maybe two grades. One for the actual business decision itself, and then B for how they handled it.
Well, I think it's a business decision that was going to be made one time or the other, so then maybe it comes down to timing. So, you know, it's probably an A, you know, B minus, a B to A business decision, because they're going to save money. And for shareholders and for possibly the future health of the company, maybe that helps. As far as handling the announcement, I think people knew that some of these cars were going to be phased out. I think it's just always a shock when it's your plant in your community. So again, if they had maybe spent a little more time and money working on how to soften the blow in those communities, that might have helped them some. But I don't know. I'm in a business myself, a publishing business, and that's taken it tough the last 8-10 years now. And, you know, bad things happen, so to speak. Things close or get sold off or whatever. And you hate to see it, but it is the way of the world. I hope that what this means is that they will have better products down the road, that something else will come out. And, you know, in a perfect world, one of these plants at least is refurbished and you put some money into it and start building another vehicle, employ those people.
Okay, well, thank you, Mark. I'll talk to you next month.
All right, thanks.
Mark Savage writes the auto review column Savage on Wheels for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and SavageOnWheels.com. He's also the editor of Scale Auto Magazine, part of Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha.
He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars, and you can explore their past segments at WUWM.com.